Hello and welcome to Persuasive Speaking and Pitching with Andrew Tollington.
Do you want to be cool? Indeed, do you want to be cool at pitching? If your hand nearly went up or you had a little voice in your head saying, yes, that's me, I want to be cool, I'm afraid you have just disqualified yourself from ever being cool. Because you see, to be cool, you must also be effortless. And anyone that wants anything can't be cool. And that's what today's podcast is all going to be about. How can we be cool and pitch? Being cool. It first came to me as a thought when I was at an event a couple of weeks ago at a bank, and there was a normal panel discussion, and afterwards we were asked to network for the next 30 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever anyone says to me to network, my heart sinks. So what I do is quite normal. I look around the room for the first individual, be they important or meaningless, that I know, and I make a beeline for them. At this event, I was lucky. I saw someone that I knew on the other side of the room. I went straight to them, and I thought, for the next half hour, I'm safe. I can network with this one individual that I already know. But no fewer than 1 or 2 minutes into our chat, I could see danger on the horizon. I looked and I saw in the corner of my eye another person coming to join our cozy twosome. As he approached, my shoulder moved around so that tried to put him off. That didn't work. I then moved my back towards him and that didn't work. And then I saw him. As he said hello, I scanned him up and down and I shuddered. He had a rotund figure, a balloon-like head with a cloth cap squeezed on top, belly button just about to burst through his shirt, and teeth that were broken like a piano. Oh, he was annoying. All he did for the next 25 to 30 minutes was talk exclusively about how much money he made, how successful he was, and everything was about him. Now, after he left our cozy twosome, I said to the other person at the time, that guy was not cool. Now, I admit that wasn't a very kind thing to say. And at times we can all come across as not being cool. So I regret saying that at the time, in fact. But it did also make me think a little bit about what it is to be cool and how can you be cool and pitch. And this is important because I haven't got any evidence of this, but by anecdotes, we all know that when we've gone for a job and we've already got a job offer, we're far more likely to get another job offer. And when we pitch and we're doing well, we're far more likely to get other people wanting whatever it is we're trying to give them. And even if we've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, when we've got a partner, suddenly other people find us all the more attractive. And that is all, I believe, because we are much cooler when we're in that state of mind. And we all, let's admit it, really want to hear these words said to us at one point or another in our lives.
So cool.
And we also want Samuel L. Jackson to say, so I went around and did some preliminary research. This wasn't particularly in depth, but I did some research on what it is to be cool. And it would appear there are four things we need to be cool. We need to be confident, effortless, be yourself, and not needy. Confident, effortless, be yourself, and not needy. Now, if we take someone like David Beckham, we would universally perhaps acknowledge that David Beckham is a cool guy. Is he confident? Yes, he is. He scores some winning goals at high time, high pressure times, and he can take tea with the Queen. Is he effortless? Yes, when he gets on the pitch, everything to him looks effortless. Is he himself? He would perhaps like us to think so, but I'm not entirely sure. I can't say on that. And is he not needy? Well, only Victoria Beckham can really tell us that, but it does not appear to be overly needy. But David Beckham, I do believe, in actual fact, is not cool. He does not qualify to be a cool kid. Why? Because If we look at David Beckham and the way that he dresses, in actual fact, he's not effortless. He puts a tremendous amount of effort into looking cool. He has himself preened all the time. In fact, who would ever think to themselves to go into their wardrobe and just throw on a skirt and wear that on a night out? David Beckham is effortless in his sport, but he's not effortless in the way that he presents himself in public. So to my mind, David Beckham is not a cool kid. In actual fact, probably it's impossible to be truly cool, to meet all of those four criteria. But let's give it a crack and let's look at how being cool can help us with pitching. Confidence, effortless, be yourself and not needy. Let's take the first one, confidence. In pitching, confidence is obviously important. How do we show confidence? That's pretty straightforward. We need to be enthusiastic, urgent. We need a good tone of voice. That means not having a high-pitched voice necessarily and trying to give it some gravity by having some drop intonation at the end of our sentences. We need to be positive and use positive language, and we need to use lots of deliberate movement. So we are sharp with our movements and we know what we're doing when we're pitching. Confidence is a pretty obvious one. Effortless. We need to appear to be effortless. Think James Dean. He is the paragon of effortlessness. In other words, we need to be so well practiced at our pitch that if we go in to give our pitch and there's no audio visual, no projector, no ability to show anything, that's no problem. Equally, if halfway through the pitch we're asked to change building, again, that's no problem. We need to be so well practiced at our pitch that it appears effortless, just like David Beckham when he takes his free kicks, penalties and crosses, he was always looking effortless. So confidence and effortlessness are important. But the next two, be yourself and not needy, are the areas that I really want to concentrate on. And I think these really inform the pitch because they're not much spoken about. I think confidence and practice, effortlessness is discussed a lot, but being yourself and not needy, perhaps less so. So being yourself, right, being yourself, I think I have something which illustrates for us really well what exactly it is to be yourself. So I'm now going to play this clip from The Office, and it is by David Brent of The Office. Here we are.
Yeah, and I get all this, oh, David, you know, you're a brilliant singer-songwriter. You're stuck in Slough, while it's Texas that are off, you know, making all the money. You know, and they're rubbish compared to you. And I go, don't slag them off. I say, I've been there, I've done that, you know, that's behind me. You know, and I respect, thing is, we're both good in our own fields. I'm sure Texas couldn't run and manage a successful paper merchants. Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I could do what they do. And I think they knew that even back then, probably what spurred them on.
Now, in that clip from The Office, Ricky Gervais played David Brent, and he also co-wrote and co-directed the television series The Office. And he said that as soon as the cameras went on, in other words, when the documentary, which was being staged in the paper office works, as soon as the camera went on, he knew he had gold dust. He knew doing a fly-on-the-wall documentary was going to be hilarious. Why? Because it illustrates how we are so rarely ourselves. We are, in actual fact, two people the majority of our lives. In The Office, David Brent is effectively an individual who just wants to be loved, which is in common with most of us. Unfortunately for David Brent, what he then does is he completely overplays trying to be cool. So all he wants is something very simple, and if he was that simple self, he would get that love and appreciation and affection. But what he does when the camera goes on is he tries to be a rock star. So he plays up to the camera consistently, making for a hilarious TV series. But it's not just on TV that we see this, not just in films, in our books, in our lives, in our real lives. This is happening all the time. We have ourselves as we are, that we know when we're alone and when we have our own thoughts. And then we have ourselves in front of other people. Think about the last time you went to a meeting or to a pitch and met some strangers, went to a networking event like the other individual I was speaking about earlier. There we are putting on who we want other people to think that we actually are. We have our two selves. We have our normal selves, and then we have our representation of ourselves. Think of dating. If you've ever used a dating app to date other people, on a date, it's very difficult with dating apps to work out who the other individual is and whether or not they are suitable for you. Even though all the algorithms that are claimed to be there on these digital dating apps are supposed to work, the truth of the matter is you can go online and you can use these dating apps, but by God, it's difficult to find your partner. I know, I am speaking by experience. Contrast that with a traditional approach to finding other people. Contrast that to something like going to a club. My mother would always tell me to go and learn a language if I wanted to find a partner, or go and join a club. If you go to a club or anything like that where you are sat with other people and they get to know you over a period of time, they get to see your true self and you get to see their true self. So you get to know the other people for who they are. Dating apps don't really allow that because you go straight on a date. You don't get that level of appreciation beforehand. Why is it important in a pitch then to be yourself? Well, this comes down to our ability as humans to use a little scanner that we have. We have a subconscious scanner, and whenever we're talking to individuals for the very first time, or we're listening to people for the very first time, as our audience would be in a pitch, they are saying to themselves, is this individual telling the truth? Are they being themselves? And if they're not, we automatically look at the individual and we think, I don't trust this person. Now, this is something that many people believe to be an evolutionary capability that we have in our brains, which is brought about from when we lived in a much more dangerous world, thousands of years ago, when we would infrequently meet new people. And if we got the truthfulness of the individual to be wrong back then, it's likely that individual would then be a threat to us. So we have a highly developed ability to scan and try and work out in milliseconds on a subconscious level whether or not the person is telling the truth or not. And being yourself is key to people believing in a pitch that you are telling the truth. Another illustration to bring out just how much this happens where we are not ourselves, think about the internet and think about the amount of trolls there are out there. Commonly, people know other less nasty, but nevertheless nasty people as haters. Ed Sheeran, the famous musician, recently said he was coming off Twitter because there was so much hatred poured towards him. Now, if we met those trolls and those haters in real life, I guarantee the vast majority of them would be an entirely different person in real life. It's only that they are acting out another version of themselves online. So we must resist being somebody else when we're pitching. And going back to David Brent, when we look as an audience in front of us when we're pitching, we must resist the temptation to think that they are like a camera crew and they're filming everything that we're seeing, that they're seeing, and recording everything that we're saying. We must be ourselves and not consider the audience to be the cameras on the office. Fourthly, final point, neediness. Needy, never be needy. We cannot be seen to be needy. If we're needy, which was what the individual in the events, the networking event that I went to was certainly, if we are needy, then we suddenly show that we want something from other people. That gives the other person the sense of superiority, and it puts us, the individual, the pitcher, in a sense of inferiority. This means we have to work all that much harder to persuade individuals. It's really difficult to influence people who think that they are superior to us because they think that they must have superior knowledge. Something has given them that superiority, and they are very much reluctant to buy into our message if they feel superior to us. It's difficult to desire something from an individual who we see as our inferior. We like to buy into people who we see as at least our equal, if not in some ways somebody that we aspire to. If we are needy, we generate a sense of skepticism in the audience because we are making them feel superior. And as soon as they're skeptical, they become analytical and they're no longer in the cozy, easy thinking mode that we want to talk about. And I will talk about that in another podcast. They're no longer in easy thinking mode. They're in deeply logical, analytical thinking mode, which means they are distanced and they are not emotionally engaged with our pitch. We need our audience to be emotionally engaged in our pitch. So we cannot have them thinking that the pitcher, us as pitchers, are needy. What's a solution? How do we stop appearing to be needy? Well, a simple solution I often use is as soon as I go to a pitch, I always tell myself just before I pitch, this is one of many other pitches that I have lined up. Even though it's a do or die pitch, it doesn't really matter. I tell myself, this is one of many. Just like when you go to a job interview and you have loads of other job offers on the table and you're much cooler when you go to give the job interview. It's the same with a pitch. Tell yourself you have lots of other offers. Tell yourself you have loads of other pitches. Tell yourself that you are maxed out and you are at capacity and you're just doing this pitch as a favor to the audience. I guarantee you will not be needy and you'll be far more attractive, and whatever it is you're trying to get people to buy into will be far more attractive to the audience. So that's those 4 points covered off. In summary of this podcast, I would like to bring up something that the pop artist Prince said. Prince was roundly recognised as probably one of the coolest dudes that ever lived, and he said for him to be cool is to be an individual that goes into any room and no matter who you meet, you're always the same. That's what we need to aspire to. If we're at a networking event, we need to be cool. We need to try and be the same. If we are in a meeting, we need to try and be the same. If we're pitching, we need to be the same. We're all guilty of having two people within us. We're all guilty. I'm guilty of it. I'm massively guilty of it, of being myself here alone right now. And then as soon as I meet someone on the street, as soon as I meet someone that's important to me, I immediately try to be a different kind of person. And what I try and work on is bringing those two people, the two me's, together. The more I can bring those two together, the more authentic and real I will appear. Whether it's at networking events or parties or pitching, we need to be ourselves. We need to try and avoid being needy. We need to practice to make sure that we're effortless, and we need to do deliberate practice, not just any old practice, deliberate practice to be effortless. And again, that's a topic for another broadcast, deliberate practice. And we need to be confident if we are to persuade our audience. Confident, effortless, be yourself and be not needy. And if you're all those things, you might one day hear not a little squeaky voice in your mind saying, I want to be cool. In actual fact, you will hear Samuel L. Jackson saying, you're cool.
Thanks for listening to my podcast. I produce these for free. And one of the most natural things for all people to want to do is to give back after they've received something. You can give back by simply sharing, reviewing, rating, or giving feedback on this podcast. You can also get notifications of future podcasts by subscribing to my email list on pitch-school.com.